Good morning, you brave souls. Coming out in the elements this morning, I practically blew from the car into the office this morning. It was like I came flying in. Paula said that she was driving and a big gust of wind just literally, she just felt like she totally swerved and was very grateful that there were no other cars around. But also to remind you, because that's what we were commenting on this morning, you younger moms, you know, we're so aware of the hoops you have to go through to get here on a Thursday morning. And bless your hearts for doing so. You know, just know that we pray for you. We want your safety. We want your protection. But we also want you here. So it's always a blessing to look out and see you gals. Who have done so much in order to be able to be here with us. As you know, we're going through 1 Corinthians 13. Again, I met a woman this morning who's here for the first time, and I told her that she could just sit with her friend when we break into groups, if we get that far today. And so I would say that if you're new, if you know someone here, go ahead and just join them in their group. Or Elisa stands here by the sound booth. If you would like to have her direct you to a group, you could do that as well. But we'd love to have you join us. It's nothing intimidating. It's just a few minutes of being together and having an opportunity to pray with and for each other. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Verse 7. It always protects, always trusts. And that's where we're going to land this morning. You know, even as I told all of you a while back, a few weeks ago, when we went through Love Keeps No Record of Wrongs, I knew that that was going to be such an important teaching. But the teaching this morning is also hugely important in our walk with the Lord, that love always trusts. And I so appreciate the fact that last week it was on love always protects. And I was so glad that came first, because if we know that love always protects, doesn't it seem reasonable that a natural product, a natural fruit of that knowledge would be that we would trust? And yet that is an area where the enemy seeks to assault us, accuses God of not being faithful, of not hearing us, not caring. And he makes it difficult. He makes it a challenge sometimes for us to trust. So I'm so glad we're going to be looking at that this morning, because to me, as I say, it's something that is huge. Trust is something that we do in the present moment. That is, it's something that we believe that God is doing something. He is at work. It has nothing to do with whether we see the evidence of that or not. In fact, when we don't see the evidence of that, that's what I love to call trusting him in the dark. And how good it is when we can trust him in the dark. Because there'll be those times that we see no evidence of his hand, but we can still trust him. But the most important thing about trusting him is that it is loving him. It's an expression of our love for him, to trust him and to trust his love for us. Life is hard, isn't it? I mean, I love life, but life is hard. And so we're always going to be having those times where we're going through trials, through big difficulties, and in those times we can feel so helpless, can't we? We pray and we wait. We pray and we wait some more. And sometimes we can come to that place where we have this thought that the solution somehow lies within us. That's what the enemy would love us to believe. But in those times where we pray and he is quiet, those are probably the most precious times of all, to trust him and to believe that he is faithful. There are also times, even as there are times of when he's quiet, there are the times when he is speaking to us, but we're just not getting it. It's not clicking. It's not coming together in our minds. And I was thinking about the disciples when they were in the upper room that night before they went into the garden to pray, and where Jesus was ultimately arrested. And even though he had been preparing them before that night especially, he was preparing them for what was going to happen. Could they get it? They just couldn't get it. They were bewildered by the things he was saying. They were troubled by the things that he was saying. They were discouraged. They just didn't get it. And in John 14:1, what did he say to them? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And what we need to remember is that when he spoke those words to his disciples, he wasn't speaking those words as a little helpful suggestion. He was speaking those words as a commandment. And he wanted them to heed it. He knew their hearts were troubled. He knew their hearts were heavy. He knew they just couldn't get it. They just couldn't put it all together. And he knows that happens to us too. Our hearts can become discouraged. We can become bewildered. We can become overwhelmed and fearful. And it's not that we don't believe in God. We just can't see what he's going to do. The problem, the crisis we're dealing with, looms in the foreground, doesn't it? And it just blocks us from seeing beyond whatever that trial is, whatever that challenge is that is before us. And all we can see is the problem. And yet at the very moment that we might be in that place of trying to come up with the solution. That very moment where we're trying to stifle a scream of help, you know, trying to squelch a panic attack. In that very moment, he speaks the same things to us that he spoke to his disciples. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. He wants us to trust his Father, and he wants us to trust him. Now, if that is a commandment, what is the thing we always have to remember? Jesus will never command us to do something he knows we can't do. So always remind yourself of that. If there's a commandment, it means that we're able to do it. And so if he is telling us that we're not to let our hearts be troubled, that means that we can have that control over our hearts and not let our hearts be troubled. And yet, it's so easy for us to get in the mindset, almost as if our hearts have a life of their own. You know, our hearts are independent of this. You know, I can't tell you the different times, and sadly, many times over the years of counseling, that I've heard that either the husband or the wife, whoever it is who's wanting to exit the marriage, says by way of explanation, I just don't love you anymore. We even have the expression that a person's heart isn't into it. Or we can say, oh, they're just giving a half-hearted approach to that task. It's an expression that we accept as if our heart has its own life. And yet, we need to realize the Lord is telling us we can have control. We can take, and we must take responsibility for our heart. So there's never a time that that becomes an excuse, you know, for the poor student or the person who's slothful in their job or the person who's not giving their all to their marriage, you know. Well, I mean, they're just, their heart's not in it. As if that explains it all. As if, you know, it's the heart that makes the determination. But that's not true. What we have to remember is God has given us a mind, and we can make a determination, and we can determine the attitude of our heart. Our heart, as I think all of us would agree, is the very center of our personality. It's our core. And that's why I think so often, I mean, you know, we use those terms. You know, when we are grieving, we'll say, my heart is breaking. If a person says, my heart is breaking, when they say that, they mean that they're entirely broken. They're entirely hurting. And the Lord knows those times, and he understands those times. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So because the condition of our heart is in large part determined by us, that is something we need to take responsibility for. And instead, acting as if it's just, you know, determined by whatever is coming our way in life, to realize that, no, I can determine the condition of my heart. The Lord has given me the power to do so, or He wouldn't command me to do so. So when Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, trust in God, trust also in me, do we receive that and hope that that is what will happen? And again, it's so easy to water down the scriptures. It's so easy to water down what the Lord commands us to do. So we might almost feel like we are agreeing with what He wants us to do and hope it happens. And we have to realize, no. If He has commanded us to not let our hearts be troubled, then that means we have to take action. There are certain things we have to do to not give our hearts permission to be troubled. And it doesn't mean that you ignore the difficulties in your life. It doesn't mean that, you know, you live a life of denial and you just keep whistling a happy tune, you know, that eventually whatever this is just going to go away. That isn't what the Lord is saying to us. He knows that we will have those hard times. He knows that we're going to go through trials and even times that are just beyond what we could even imagine just sitting here this morning. But He knows. He knows the end from the beginning, doesn't He? And nothing takes Him by surprise. In Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, I bet that's one you all have highlighted or underlined in your Bible. I think Brett's mom said that is her very favorite verse. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. And all of your ways acknowledge, that's up here, all of your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. That is a choice for us. And we can find ourselves in hard, desperate situations. One of the verses in the Bible in Psalms says, you know, you have shown your people desperate times. But in those desperate times, we remember that He is with us. We're not going through those times alone. He is with us, and He loves us. I was thinking back of 30-plus years ago in my own life when I was going through what I absolutely then, and even now looking back on it, would say was a desperate time. And I remember I spent the whole night awake, praying, crying, reading the Word. And somewhere, well, it was early in the early morning hours, He had led me to Lamentations 3:26, where it says, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And so He had given me that wonderful, wonderful word. But I didn't stop crying. I didn't stop praying. I didn't stop reading. And then I don't remember what I was going to do. I just remember maybe I was going to go make myself a cup of coffee. I just remember I was walking to the kitchen, and I felt that he said, "This is an opportunity to trust me." And it stopped me in my tracks. I remember just stopping and looking up and just thinking, yes, this is an opportunity to trust him. And that is the way I think he would love us to look at those desperate times that we can be in life. Because when they're desperate, we're talking desperate. And if we can change the way we look at it and see it as an opportunity to trust him. I mean, that's when you really have the opportunity. And I know when that registered, when I was just stood there, I could feel it. There was a mental shift in my thinking. And it so affected my heart. Nothing in that desperate situation had changed, nor would it change for days and days and days. But he changed the way I walked through those days. He sustained me. He sustained me with a peace that only he could give me. But I purpose to walk in Lamentations 3, to wait quietly for his salvation. And how do you wait quietly? You're disciplining yourself. How do you keep a child quiet? By constantly, every time there's an activity. And that's the way you have to be with yourself. You have to be vigilant. You hear a thought that is disquieting, and you don't follow it down a path. You stop it and go, no, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord, or whatever verse it is that the Lord might give you in that desperate time. And you just speak it out loud. You speak it so you can hear it. And you're also speaking it because you believe it. And you're going to be disciplining your heart as well as your mind. And the amazing thing is it works. The Lord's love gives us that power. And see, as women, we can be so quick to excuse the emotion of fear and desperation, panic. I mean, it's like we tell ourselves, I mean, especially in a desperate time, you know, how else could I respond? Anyone I know would feel the same way I'm feeling right now. And you just go with it. And where is God in our thinking when we're doing that? He's not on the forefront. The crisis is. And he wants us to have our minds stayed on him. We looked at that verse last week from Isaiah 26:3, I believe it is. You know, he will keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trusting isn't just some willy-nilly thing we do. To me, in our walk, it's where the rubber meets the road. And when we really take hold of this, oh my goodness, the difference it makes in our lives. Does it mean that in those trials, in those difficulties, in those desperate times, we just coast along the top? Not at all. We do have hearts. We do have emotions. And God knows that. But we're not in a state of panic. We're not in a state where we even entertain the thought that God doesn't care, let alone that God doesn't know. We know he knows. We know he cares. We know he is with us. And that's what allows us to walk it in peace. Maybe with a broken heart too. But I would rather have a broken heart and know that God is in control. Remind myself, my life hasn't gotten away from him, than to have a broken heart and to be totally distraught because I am literally falling apart at the seams with no hope, no faith in God. So he knows there will come those times, but oh, the difference to go through those times, choosing to trust him. And that is the part that I so want you to see, is that it is a mental decision. And that decision becomes a conviction to trust. You choose to trust. So much in our walk with the Lord I've seen is choosing. Choosing. And this is choosing to trust him. In 2 Corinthians 1, maybe you would like to turn there. This is a verse I have loved for a long time. Starting in verse 8. And Paul says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. That's choosing to trust. And I love where he says that this happened that we might not rely, might not trust on ourselves, but on him. You know, they felt the sentence of death, but they knew that God could raise the dead. Isn't that what we all want, to have that kind of faith? Isaiah 12:2 says, surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. This was D.L. Moody's favorite verse. And what he used to say about it was, you can travel first class or second class to heaven. Second class is, when I am afraid, I will trust in you. And that's Psalm 56:3. Then he would say, first class is, I will trust and not be afraid. And he added, why not buy a first class ticket? And I think fear is something we all hate, men and women alike. We hate fear because it is so gripping, so compelling. And it's one thing to have this thought, as the psalmist did, you know, when I'm afraid, I will trust in you. But I agree with D.L. Moody. I would much rather be able to say, I will trust and not be afraid. And that is what I believe that the Lord has for us. Who wouldn't prefer to go first class? And yet, it is a choice. And we're the ones who make it. It's our choice who and what we fix our thoughts on, and who and what we place our trust in. And our mistake can be that we place our trust in so many other things. We can place our trust in people. We can place our trust in a salary, in a job, in friends, in our house, in our car. I mean, there are loads of things that we can place our trust in. Psalm 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God." And then Psalm 9, verse 10 is also one I love. "Those who know your name will trust in you." And always remembering, when you see the name, it's referring to God's nature, God's character. What we know to be true about God, that's what we trust in. And you cannot trust in someone you do not know, which is why I, every single week, will encourage you to spend time in the Word, reading the Word, meditating on the Word. It says in John 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God." So when you spend time in the Word and meditating on the Word, that's how you're going to get to know Him. That's how you're going to get to know His character. And that is what you will trust in, because His character is trustworthy. Jeremiah 29:13-14 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord." And I love that. That's His promise. He said, "You look for me, and you look for me with all of your heart. You'll find me." He doesn't play hide and seek with us. He wants to be found by us. He wants relationship with us. And if we think of it that way, I mean, how is it that we even resist spending time in the Word? Knowing He waits. He waits to spend that time with us, to speak to our hearts, to speak to our situations, and to give us that perfect peace that's found in Him. If we know Him, we'll be able to trust Him. And you may be a new Christian here today and say, "Well, I mean, I feel like I only know Him a little." Well, guess what? You choose to trust Him with whatever you're going through or dealing with right now. You make the choice to trust Him, even though you know Him just a little. And guess what? It's going to help you to know Him more. And every single time, you're going to get to know Him more, because you're going to be on the receiving end of His love and His faithfulness. He will never disappoint you. Jeremiah 17:7, this is the New Living Translation. "Blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit." Isn't that the description we would all like to have of ourselves? To be women who are not bothered or worried by the circumstances in our lives? Not because our heads are in the sand, not because we live a life of denial, but we are women who know God, who love Him and trust Him, knowing that we can count on His faithfulness. I love Psalm 112:7 because I'm sure I'm not the only one. You know, sometimes life is going along pretty well, and out of nowhere comes this sense of foreboding. And you just think, now, I mean, this could be just something stupid that the enemy is sending my way. You know, and the feeling is there. Or maybe it's God preparing me, you know. I mean, you have this thought. And I think all of us know that feeling of foreboding. And when I came across this verse, I absolutely loved it. And the verse says that we will have no fear of bad news because we will trust the Lord to take care of us. And I love that. Again, you have no fear of bad news. Why? Because nothing bad is ever going to happen to you? Not at all. We all know, yes, bad things will happen to us. But will God still be in that picture? Will God be with us? Yes. And that's what takes the element of the bad news out of whatever is going to come our way. God wants to reveal Himself to us in those times that are so hard, in those times that absolutely try our faith, challenge everything we know. God wants us to not let our hearts be troubled, but to trust in Him. I'm so hoping that you will see trust as a choice, that you will see that it comes out of knowing that He loves you, knowing, as we said last week, that His love always protects, but also knowing it is a choice, and it's a choice each one of us will need to make, and sometimes it will be made in the very crux, in the very crucible of a crisis. I remember very clearly, this was now, I'm happy to say, 12 years ago, last month, that my doctor told me that I had been diagnosed with breast cancer. And I remember two verses quickly came to my mind. The first was Psalm 139:16. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And when that came to my mind, it was just like washing over me. It was a surprise to me, but it was not a surprise to Him. All my days were written in His book. Each day has been ordained by Him. The second verse that came right on the heels of that was Psalm 31:14-15. But I trust in You, O Lord. I say, You are my God. My times are in Your hands. And those were the verses that carried me through that particular season. I wasn't whistling Dixie and saying, oh, I just know and I'm going to claim healing. I wasn't doing that. I really had no idea what was going to come, what would be the outcome. I'm very grateful that He brought the healing. I'm very grateful that 12 years later I get to sit here and tell you the story. But at that moment, hearing those words from my doctor, what relief that right on the heels of his voice came the voice of the Lord, giving me just the words that would give me peace, that would give me the assurance of his love, that would remind me that my times are in his hands. When I was preparing this, so many hymns came to my mind, and I just kept jotting them down. I thought, well, I wonder how many I'll get to share, because especially if you ever grew up in a church that sang hymns, it's amazing how they come to your mind. And of course, for us, we have our praise songs, and they're wonderful too, and they come to mind. In fact, I love it. John Micah and Shannon Summerall gave me the newest CD of Cutlass, you know, and I've been playing that a lot. And I thought, I can hardly wait to tell them that the other night I woke up in the middle of the night and I'm singing one of the songs. And I thought, wow, you know, it used to be hymns. But I mean, music is a wonderful way that ministers to us on a very deep level. And that's why it's always been so important to me. But I saw the time that it was going to take, and I thought, no, I've got to pick one. And you're probably sitting there thinking, okay, I think I know which one she picked. And you may be right. It's 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And if you are sitting here and you think, what did she say, 'tis so what? You know, 'tis so sweet what? You know, write it down, because today you can go look it up on YouTube. That's what I love. I mean, we live in amazing times. But it's a hymn that we should all know. And I know so many times in my life I've broken into the refrain totally spontaneously. I mean, I might be praying one minute and thinking about something that's very, very difficult, very, very hard or whatever, and get up from my chair, and as I'm walking across the room, literally without any plan, burst into Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. You know, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. You know. The Lord uses his word. And keep in mind how many of the Psalms were in truth songs. Songs ministered to them also. But I did write down the words, so I thought I would read them to you. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Oh, for grace to trust him more. I love that hymn. For those of you who know it, I know you're hearing it in your heart too. Oh, for grace to trust him more. Oswald Chambers says, faith is unutterable trust in God, trust which never dreams that he will not stand by us. Trust that never dreams he will not stand by us. Isn't that the kind of trust you want? The kind of faith, the kind of relationship with the Lord? The kind that you don't even have to remind yourself of his goodness, of his faith, of his faithfulness, of his character. Because it would never even enter your mind that he isn't a God to be trusted. That he might be a God who would not stand by us. That's what the Lord desires for us. I know that even today, there are some here who are going through alarming circumstances, desperate times. And God knows it too. All of us are going to have those times in our lives. Love always trusts. Do you see the link between loving and trusting? Because there is a link. Love has the power. Love gives us power to trust. And it starts with knowing and loving God, and then believing how much He loves us. We can trust whatever He allows in our lives. And I believe that in those times, our love will really bring joy to His heart when He sees us loving Him and choosing to make Him the place that we put our trust. Let's pray. Father, I thank You so much because You are trustworthy, and You want us to know that and walk with You as only You would allow us to walk, Lord, waiting quietly for You to save our situation, whatever it is, and whatever the outcome. Lord, You speak the same thing to us that You spoke to Your disciples. Let not your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. Lord, would You help us to see clearly that it is a choice, Lord. It's a decision we make, and You will make it a conviction to choose to trust You. And yet, Lord, it's such a wonderful thing, because once we see those times that are desperate times, and we have the perspective that desperate as they are, they also provide a wonderful opportunity to trust You. Lord, it'll change everything. Because instead of the crisis being on the forefront of our minds, Lord, it will be You. It will be Your name, Your character, Your love. Thank You for telling us that it's possible. Thank You for giving us the power, Lord, to make that choice. In Jesus' name, amen.